Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, parables. Most of the lesson that Jesus teaches are taught in the form of parables. In the scriptures, you and I are familiar with parables, and in the world, you and I are familiar with the practice of parables as well. I mean, how often have you read a book that had a deeper meaning, a children's book, a young adult book? See, I've seen lessons in movies that have been taught with fantastic stories and well-written and developed characters, and by engaging the imagination and producing remarkable characters who remain deep in our memories, stories can create truth. And these stories, I mean, they're not always fiction either. How many youths have been inspired by movies such as The Blind Side, Remembering the Titans, or Rudy? The lesson that these films teach, their stories are meant to encourage and to instill a desire to have traits such as perseverance, hard work, and diligence. But it doesn't take a genius to figure these things out. I mean, people know that hard work will help them achieve their goals. You and I have learned these things through life experience, either on our own or through the experience of others out there who have lived through events and have gone through the trials and tribulations of life themselves. The difference you and I might experience, though, is the lack of happy endings. The good guy doesn't always win. Sometimes your hard work and your sweat, they go to somebody else's glory. This world, it can be a cruel and a harsh place, where even the most cheerful personality can be stamped out into despair and dismay. This harsh reality, it often creates cynical people who guard their hearts against positivity. However, stories have this way of shedding the layers of protection you and I place around our hearts and our minds. They weave a tapestry that captures the imagination. In his parable about the sower, Jesus doesn't use an amazing story or a fantastic production crew. And yet, this simple story of a farmer tells the truth of the entire cosmos and the state of the people that God has created. In our gospel reading today, Jesus is sitting in a boat in front of a crowded beachfront, and he has what every speaker wants, a ready and willing audience who they desire to hear Jesus. And Jesus never wasted an opportunity to teach. In fact, almost all of his words in Scripture are lessons, teachings, meant for the people who were to betray Jesus. They were lessons to the people Jesus would save. For the crowd that day, Jesus could have performed a miracle. He could have caused fire to come down from heaven, created a storm, or brought about a legion of angels to gather around them. But instead, Jesus tells them a parable, a story about a farmer. And by all accounts, not a really good one. Well, let's take a look. Let me begin first by saying I'm no farmer. This means that my knowledge is very limited and isn't even at the nature of a novice hobbyist. However, from the opening lines, I get the feeling that this farmer is about my speed. And a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the rocky path, and birds came and devoured them. And we've established I'm no expert, but this kind of farming seems either lazy or just downright bad. Well, our farmer continues. Other seeds fell upon rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. I mean, the farmer sees a slight improvement here. I mean, at the very least, something grows, but it grows so quickly that it gets burned down because it has no foundation. And the following seeds do even worse, falling in among thorns that choke them out. This isn't until the final casting of the seeds that the audience, or myself, actually begins to think that maybe this farmer might have some clue of what he's doing. You see, some fell on good soil and they produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The end. I mean, what's Jesus doing? Is he trying to leave his audience with some kind of cliffhanger? I mean, there isn't a satisfying conclusion, really, to this parable. I mean, what's the moral of the story? Who's the main character? Well, if you're like me, when I first heard the parable, I was super confused. But maybe you're a Christian who's been around the block a few times, you've heard a few sermons about the story of the parable, and so you think that you have a pretty good idea of what the point is. Or at least, you and I like to think that we do. Because you see, in the following verses, the disciples ask Jesus, well, why do you speak to them in parables? I mean, the arrogance is ironic. But since you and I tend to think like the disciples, perhaps I should be a little bit easier on them. Because arrogant is a strong word, but notice their question. They want to know why Jesus is speaking to those other people in parables. You see, Jesus' response that these disciples have been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. They didn't figure it out for themselves, nor did they earn it through any form of perseverance, hard work, and diligence. I mean, you and I, we relate to them, though. Because how often do you hear the word of God misused and abused, either to fit somebody's agenda or to discredit the faith that you've been baptized into? Throughout history, sinful people have used the word of God to satisfy their own desires and turn the word that should be life-saving into self-serving. But you and I would be in the same boat if it weren't for the Holy Spirit. Sinful people that we are, you and I would have easily been reduced into using the words of God for our own benefit. See, only by the grace of God are you and I able to even begin to understand the depths of this wondrous love. See, when we read a parable like this then, there can be a big danger for us to feel like we get it. See, what may seem like a simple parable about farmers, soil, seeds, thorns, and all manner of growth, it's a parable about the kingdom of God. And I would be ashamed to say that I fully understand and comprehend the kingdom of God. I need this parable. And I need to be taught by Jesus what this means. You see, the Holy Spirit is constantly at work in our lives. And so our approach to Scripture should be one of humility. Christ is first and foremost speaking to this crowd on a beach. But he's also speaking to his disciples. His disciples who believe this message is for the other people. And he's also speaking to you. He's speaking to me. People who have come much after the disciples are dead and buried, much after the people on that beachfront have passed away. Jesus Christ is speaking to you today. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The sower is still sowing. I mean, what may seem like a simple farmer is so much more. He's not lazy or he's inept, he's determined. Because no matter what, that sower is still sowing. He casts out seed everywhere so there might even be a yield of crops. If we had to cast who was who in this parable, well, you and I have to be fair and say this isn't us. You and I, we might constantly try to share this word of God, but we give up. You lose energy. I can't maintain the focus. This is a role better suited for Christ. See, Christ never gave up on humanity. Christ was constantly speaking to the people who would betray him, teaching them. He called Judas to serve alongside of him. He converted Saul to Paul. And he called sinful people like you and me to be a part of the church. You see, the gospel is the seed. Christ is the sower. And you're the fruits of his labor. But that isn't the end to the story. You see, Christ isn't trying to leave his audience on a cliffhanger. There just simply is no end to the story. The grain doesn't just die. The grain produces. The process continues. The church is the vehicle through which Jesus Christ, the sower, is casting out seed. Because Jesus desires all to be saved. He continues casting out the gospel, even though mankind doesn't deserve it. I mean, the church is how Christ reached out to you. It's how the Spirit is working through you and I. See, that gospel promise that Christ died and rose again for all mankind, that's the promise. That's the gospel that you and I are privileged to share with our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers. Through the waters of baptism, you have been given to know the kingdom of heaven. It's not up to us if the seeds will grow. God gives the growth. But the gospel must be proclaimed so that all may hear. It's more than a story. It's life. Our sower is still sowing. So be it. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen.